BBC.
Radio 1.
BBC Radio 1 free downloads. Download them all for free at the Radio 1 website.
And here is Wednesday's Scott Mills Daily. It's our free podcast. On it, people that can do tricks at parties by just rapping to one particular song. So jealous. Real or No Real discusses a bizarre fact about Paul McCartney and the worldwide phenomenon that is When Chris Met Mila Kunis. We play out various TV shows in the US he's been on. We put the record straight and we ask, is he the new Subo?
Scott Mills.
BBC Radio 1.
More on Chris's worldwide domination. It's getting silly now.
Just shading in Russia.
What do you mean shading in Russia?
We've got a map of where people are seem to be talking about
right,
this.
I think we're getting carried away now. Where's Russia, Chris? Any trouble? Someone's just been on saying, can you remember that woman that used to be on your show? She was quite good at rapping. Yeah, I know that, but I'm just... like, she used to learn them. I'm just impressed that people that can, like, do it at parties and stuff. I mean, Becky's always been able to rap.
Yeah.
I mean, she can rap anything, but these are people that just learn one specific rap of one specific tune. Several people saying, I'm sure these people are dedicated, but please don't make them do it on the radio. I'm embarrassed for them. And the ridicule they will undoubtedly receive for the rest of their lives. No, they won't.
It's a good party trick.
It's a really good party trick. Maybe on the radio, I know what you're saying, but yeah. We need to talk about how much it's gone bonkers with this Mila Kunis interview.
It's sort of rolled into day two.
It's really weird. So I sent Chris to do a interview at a press junket where the star sits there all day in a hotel room and just talks to journalists. He wasn't prepared. He had 10 minutes and then he found out it was Mila Kunis. I think it's better that you didn't prepare, looking at it now with hindsight. So far, he's going to be on E! News tonight, by the way, if you are getting E! News in your life, if you love a bit of E! I know... you're on just before, I think, New Kardashians.
Brilliant. I mean, this is what was crazy. It was what happened when our show finished. That's where it all started to get a little bit mad.
Yeah. And Access Hollywood have just called as well. Right, more on this after 2:30. This is mad. So, on Friday, I sent my friend Chris off to interview Mila Kunis at one of those press junkets where they sit in a hotel room all day and get interviewed by so many people. Only our one, which he had 10 minutes to prepare for, i.e. no preparation at all, has now gone round the world. And I've got to be honest with you, I don't really understand why, but it has.
Well, I certainly don't understand why.
It's now had just under 3 million views.
It's crazy.
On the internet. And there are people calling from America and from Australia and everywhere. I think Chile have been on today. Is that South America covered? Someone in the Middle East has been on, all wanting to talk to us about this interview. And I want to play you now some of the things that where it's been featured, including a morning show on NBC.
I think you need to explain these shows as well, because if I'm honest, I didn't really know much about them. I assume that they were...
I think this is the Today Show on NBC. And it's a bit like kind of BBC Breakfast or Daybreak, in which that it's a national United States show that goes out all over America. And it's kind of what people watch when they wake up in the morning if they watch TV.
Right.
So it's a big thing. And here's what they said.
Actress Mila Kunis is out promoting her new movie, The Great and Powerful Oz. She sat down for one of these press junkets where you sit there all day and the press comes in one after another and asks you essentially the same question
over and over again.
So BBC Radio, this guy Chris Stark, who's part of a comedy team, we should point out.
Part of a comedy team? Who told them that?
I think that some things are getting lost in translation a little bit. I think I've been labelled by various people as a journalist.
Yeah, bumbling, that's right.
A comedian, a BBC One reporter.
He's part of a comedy team.
Part of a comedy team.
Yeah, I'll take that. I'll have that. And as you can imagine, a bit like they do on the breakfast shows here, they're all kind of sat around a table and they're all talking. So you've got like the two main anchors and you've got like the weather girl who chips in and the guy that does the sports.
Right. Came in sort of batting his eyes saying he was petrified. Mila Kunis didn't know this, but watch the way she rolled with it as he begins to sort of hit on her, offers to take her to a football game.
Hits on her throughout the whole thing.
Wants to take her to a football game, a soccer match, and get a beer afterwards.
He plainly hits on her during the whole thing. All right, pipe down, love.
Even getting a beer afterwards. I love this. Mm. This is so weird.
Guess what he's on tonight? Well, he was on last night in America, but it's on tonight because we're a day behind. If you've got the channel E, I love E. This is the only one I'm really jealous of, actually.
This is the one that's E! Exclamation mark.
Yes. What a channel. So many great shows. Chasing the Saturdays.
Yeah.
It's got Mel B, It's a Scary Life. Not so much that. It's got Keeping Up with the Kardashians. You know them, right? The Kardashians?
Yep, I've heard of them.
What else? Ice Loves Coco. What a show. How much about the rapper Ice-T and how much he loves his wife, Coco. And, oh, Married to Jonas.
Genuinely love this.
That's about being married to one of the Jonas brothers. I could watch that all day. Have done.
Incredible.
Okay, so this is from E! News.
Mila's hilarious chat with a nervous interviewer.
Seriously, I'm petrified, but shall we?
So far, you're doing a great job.
Really?
No, but we'll see what happens.
Okay, good.
Hollywood music.
Hi, I'm Liz Hernandez for E! News Now. On the British leg of her promo tour for Oz, the Great and Powerful, Mila Kunis sits down with a BBC Radio rookie reporter.
Rookie.
The journalist quickly gets the actress's attention for his out-of-the-ordinary banter. Check out the viral video.
That's good, isn't it?
It's just it's me. It's Chris.
It's just you.
You know, this is the I am a very average lad from Watford.
Yes, yes.
This shouldn't be happening to
me.
I
know, but enjoy it. It's it right because we couldn't plan this and it won't happen again.
No.
So that's why it's so great. Also tonight, I think you're being introduced by Kat Deeley on E! News because she's big in America.
So
she's even developed a slight accent. Despite being from Birmingham, bub.
You've sent me now to do interviews, because bizarrely this seems to have been doing really well in America.
Yes.
I've noticed it in a lot of the news.
Do you know why?
Here,
because they think it's really British. It's like that Susan Boyle thing, where like, oh, bless her, she's so cute. And it's that thing of like, oh, it's just like a romantic comedy. Everything in America relates back to films. And they think still that we just drink cups of tea from China, like out of China cups, and that we all know the royal family and that we get to work on horse and cart.
Yeah.
We're still off of Victorian times in their eyes. So they think it's really great. Listen to this from Good Morning America.
Mila Kunis is busy promoting her new film, Oz the Great and Powerful. She plays Theodora, who becomes the Wicked Witch of the West. But at a press junket in London, she was anything but evil. So
this is like the biggest breakfast TV show in America.
Reporter, his name is Chris Stark. In fact, by the time it ended, it was Mila interviewing Chris. Listen.
Thing is,
what's
with the boys?
What's your favorite beer?
But
listen what they say after the clip.
No, we haven't got that.
What?
I've never even heard of that.
What? Listen, I'm going to come. You're going to show me football and I'll show you a blue moon.
How quickly can you neck a pint?
Oh, pretty fast. I used to bartend. I can also pour a pint with no foam. What?
What? What? How quickly can you neck a pint? I love that term. So the two never really did get to talk about the movie when Mila finally said, listen, you should probably have some talking points and know some things about the film. Chris also interrupted that to ask Mila to go to a wedding.
Look, man's got one shot.
He did a great job.
Ask the important question.
Oh, the weather guy thought you were awesome.
I love the weather guy.
I like also the one I heard was, oh, it's just like that Hugh Grant film. He's just like Hugh Grant. It's like with the Horse and Hound magazine. I think they mean it's off. Is it Notting Hill? Yeah, Notting Hill.
So this was all yesterday, right? So because of the time difference, I'm struggling to keep up here. But
right.
So after the show,
they're behind in time.
So this is
we're
why,
in the future to them.
This is why after the show, this American bonkers stuff started happening.
Yeah.
Right. And this is why you sent me to go do an interview for the
E! News.
That's with an exclamation mark.
And it looks like we might be off to Access Hollywood after the show.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Maybe. Yeah.
Is that good?
I think so. Yes. Actually, yeah, I know so. I've seen that show loads of times. Yeah, that's really good. It's a bit like E! News. It's like another Hollywood gossip show.
Crazy.
This is great. Just under 3 million views now, which is craziness. You are the new Subo.
Am I?
Yeah. You've come here from your... What was it Amanda Holland said?
I dreamed
You've
a dream.
You've come here from your little village in your little town, and you can go back to that little village in your little town in the little Scotland with your head held... Little Watford with your head held high. Was that patronising enough? Aaron Phillips has been on. Saying, I'm a Brit and I live in Pennsylvania. It's brilliant. They all think we're living in a rom-com all the time. See?
It's amazing, isn't it? The whole thing is just staggering.
Your five-minute thing with Mila Kunis, to them, is like a big rom-com. Mm. They love it. Okay, this is Scott Mills on BBC Radio 1. If you look at the Radio 1 Twitter right now, you'll see a brilliant picture that we've just put up. Watford FC have been on, and they have provided us with Kunis shirts.
It's amazing.
So if we ever get to meet her again, we can go, oh, Kunis, here's your shirt.
Mm.
So Radio 1 Twitter, at BBC R1. You'll also see, if you look at that picture, all of the press cuttings, which we've just put on the wall. We're very proud.
It's lovely.
Very proud. So When Chris Met Mila Kunis has got nearly 3 million views. Something that hasn't had that many views yet, but actually something you'll quite like. And is doing all right on the Radio 1 Facebook. It's kind of behind the scenes. It's just filmed on someone's phone, but it's a bit kind of reality TV-like. It's a bit like Kardashians or Ice Loves Coco.
So one of those American shows.
Yeah. So Chris yesterday was on the phone to various news outlets around the world about his Mila Kunis interview. And we thought it was quite funny, so we just kind of filmed him. On the phone to these various people.
To be honest, I sort of panicked again because I was talking to these American journalists and yes, someone started filming me and I was just like, oh, come on, don't need this now. This is exactly what happened before.
But listen to some of his answers to his various press interviews. This is on Radio 1 Twitter and Radio 1 Facebook right now.
Not many people know Watford Football Club, for example, so to have Mila Kunis talking about Watford and the place where I grew up is hilarious. The only thing they're ever so slightly annoyed about is my friend Chango the Beast. They've been spelling his name with a DJ. What's it? Django.
I'm about to do an interview for E.
And they're calling Lad Bombs Lap Bombs, which is a little bit wrong.
I'd like to think that we might have found out a few more things about Mila Kunis than maybe people would have expected at the start.
I mean, if I ever do it again or interview anyone else, I'll bring a Watford shirt with me because that was a missed opportunity.
It even includes the bit where you're being filmed for E.
Yeah.
I like that, like, of the whole thing, this like viral sensation. The only thing you're really worried about is the misspelling of Chango the Beast.
I've noticed, listen, it's only a minor thing, but I've noticed more and more they're spelling it DJ, like Django.
Unchained.
And he did text me.
But did he?
Yeah.
Was that all he was worried about as well?
It was an odd... He was like, they're spelling it wrong, mate.
It's CH, yeah?
CH okay.
I mean, you would hate to be in the worldwide press with the wrong Django,
it's
wouldn't
Django
you?
The Beast.
BBC Radio 1.
You know, we were talking yesterday about how I think it's super impressive when people learn a whole rap of a song. And they take the time out to really, really learn it in its entirety, in detail, from start to finish.
Oh, yeah.
I just think it's a brilliant thing to do. And I know this all started when I was talking about my mate Tony, who on long drives has a kind of rap-off when it's a long drive with him and his girlfriend. And they actually set each other challenges. So he'll be like, OK, I'll learn the rapping Starships by Nicki Minaj by next Wednesday. And then they do it. A lot of people do this. I'm going to get involved with it quite soon. It's just something that I mentioned yesterday and it's just gone off on the text. Hi, Henry.
Hello.
It's Scott. How are you?
Oh, my life. Hello, how are you?
I'm really good. Where are you?
I'm in my car at the moment.
Okay.
I'm stopped over.
So sometimes when you feel like it, you just break out in a rap?
Yeah, why not?
Do you do it to friends?
Yeah, well, at a party or whatever, really. Just bust it out if the song comes on.
When you've got a new audience, it's always good. I'm really going to have to do this because it's just a great skill to have.
Okay.
What song do you do?
Numb, Jay-Z and Linkin Park, Numb, Encore.
Have you got a clean version for me?
Yeah.
Go.
Okay. You ready?
Oh, yeah.
You're far too kind.
Nice.
Here we go.
You've got to get the beginning bit in, haven't you?
Can I get an encore? Do you want more? Cooking raw with the Brooklyn boys. So for one last time, I need you out to roar.
Get him, Jay.
Now what the hell are you waiting for? After me, there should be no more. So for one last time, make some noise. Get him, Jay.
Oh, that's the wrong place.
Who you know fresher than Hope? Riddle me that. The rest of y'all know where I'm lyrically at. Can't none of y'all mirror me back. Yeah, hearing me rap is like hearing G rap in his prime. I'm Young H.O., rap's Grateful Dead. Back to take over the globe. Now break bread. I'm in Boeing, Jess, Global Express. Out the country, but the blueberry still connect. On the low, but right. See, got a triple deck. When you're young, what the hell you expect? Yeah, yeah. Grand opening, grand close in. But damn, your man Hove, crack the hand open again. Who you gonna find doper than him? With no pen, just draw off inspiration. Soon you're gonna see you can replace him.
Imagine which someone randomly did this at a party. How awesome.
Encore. Do you want more? Cooking raw with the Brooklyn boys. So for one last time, I need y'all to roar.
Henry?
Yeah?
I believe you. That's so good.
Do you like it?
Yeah, I liked it a lot.
Brilliant.
Love you, bye.
I love you, bye. Love you, Chris, and love you.
Have you ever tried to learn one of these raps?
I have. I'm sad enough to say the one I did was a Blazing Squad song a long time ago.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Which one?
Crossroads.
That's not actually a Blazing Squad song.
I know.
It's, yeah. You know that it's...
I'm sure loads of people...
You know that it's a cover, right?
Yeah, of course I do, yeah. Yeah.
I'm just envious of people that can do it and just bust it out and take the time to actually learn it. Laura, what song do you do?
Nicki Minaj, Super Bass.
So you can just rap Nicki Minaj's Super Bass whenever you want. You've just got it in your head.
Yeah.
Okay, go.
This is the one for the boys with the booming system. Tap down AC with the cooling system. When he comes up in the club, he be blazing up. Get stacks on deck like he's saving up. And he ill, he real, he might got a deal. He pop bottles and he got the right kind of build. He cold, he dope, he mouths out. He always in the air, but he never fly coach. He up, chip, chip, sailor of the ship, shit. When he make it drip, drip, kiss him on the lip, lip. That's the kind of dude I was looking for.
That is a skill.
Thank you.
That's impressive. Thank you, Laura.
Thank you.
Love bye. You, bye.
Scott Mills Daily.
Matt on Twitter would like to be Mila Kunis. I think that's only right, given the circumstances. Robin Leeds, I think we've had it before, but I'll let you have the Archbishop of Canterbury. Has that been on before?
I think
it has before, once before maybe, yeah. But you know, we'll let you have it, it's fine.
I think so, yeah.
Kindergarten Cop.
That's a good one. I don't think we've had that.
Steve in Nantwich, we'll have that, thank you very much. And Lily is... Living Dakina Loca. Mm. Yeah. Someone says, I'm so keen, could you please inform my next of keen that I will be...
That's genius.
That I will be listening to Tap End today. That's from Chris in High Wycombe. That's good, actually. There's loads I don't understand. Lightning McKean, what's that?
Not sure.
The Mayor of Kensington? I suppose that's supposed to be Kensington. That's Kieran on the A40.
It's when people get it slightly wrong.
Yeah, I like
Jose
that.
Jose Mercinio.
Yes.
It's not even close.
No, but I like them sometimes more. This text says, me and Deirdre will be gathered around the radio this afternoon. That's from Keen Barlow.
Oh, wow.
Thanks, Keen. Theme tune.
I've bossed banter in Prague. I've dressed up as a Smurf. I've swapped lives with a German. Bought strip pens in France. I've covered teachers in sunscreen. Nearly drowned in some foam. I had a naked massage. Me and my mates had a laugh. I did
24 years at the top end.
At the tap end.
He's still got some more stories in him. And here he is, with 24 years at the tap end. It's Chris.
What an intro.
I'm not calling you my friend Chris anymore.
Really?
I think we've established that.
It's just odd on reflection, isn't it? After that person's made a point of it, it does sound a bit weird.
Yeah, someone said last week and it's weird. So here's Chris with Tap End.
Are we still friends?
Yeah, no, that's still on. It's just that I don't think I need to say it all the time.
Okay, I'm just worried that you're dropping the friend thing.
No.
Right, that's off.
Yeah, bye. So where are we at?
I'm going to take you to my 17th year at the Tap End, if you're keen.
Well, I'm Duncan Bannatyne.
Okay, Very good. And I'm King Kong. I'm not sure if we've done that before, but...
Do you know what that is?
It's a gorilla.
Yeah.
Massive one.
Uh-huh.
And it was in a film, I'm told.
It's a film. Okay, ready?
Ready.
Ready.
It was around Halloween kind of time. Life was good. I was spending lots of time with the boys, doing the things most 17-year-olds do. Playing lots of Queen Latifah, unsuccessfully trying to meet girls, and cracking on with life. Most of our time was spent at Chinese Dave's house, as he had one of those converted garages that was the perfect place to chill. Inside was a darts board and pool table, and a mini fridge filled with beers.
Did Chinese Dave never get fed up of you lot coming around? Because when you're not in his car, you're at his house.
It's true. At that time, we used to spend a lot of time with Chinese Dave.
Is he not like, go home?
Well, I think he liked us all being round. It was stuff to do. And the garage was his, so it was like having our own place, really.
So is it like attached to his parents' house?
Yeah.
But separate?
Yeah, but he was allowed full sort of... He was allowed to do the walls there. So we'd decorate the walls. We'd all write pictures and things on there.
What kind of pictures?
You know.
All right.
And yeah, it was just a really good place to chill.
Who was on your wall at that age?
I can tell you exactly who was on my wall at that age. Holly Valance. If you don't remember Holly Valance and you've got the audio version of this autobiography, press play now. Tune?
Yeah, this is her best one, I think.
Yeah. I used to love this song, but I remember the video was amazing.
It's better than Down Boy.
Was that one?
Oof. That's enough.
Here's a little fact for you. Holly Valance was the first ever calendar that I got. You know, the first time you get your wow. first calendar. What was your first calendar?
I didn't really have a calendar.
But you must have at some point.
No, I don't think I did. I tell you, when I was really young, guess what I had? A Radio 1 calendar.
No, you didn't.
Yes, I did.
And who was on it?
All the DJs of the day, of that time.
Do you know what's my favourite with those calendars is, bless my gran, I'm not saying she's on the calendar, but I mean, every year she gets a present for me, my brother and sister, but my mum buys it. So she doesn't know what she's bought, but it's roughly about £10. Now, she doesn't realise that for the last 4 or 5 years, she's been buying my brother the latest Hollyoaks Babes calendar. And every time my brother has to call her and say thank you for the Hollyoaks calendar, she's like, oh, yes, do you like it? Like, she doesn't have a clue.
When she bought you... Inadvertently, the Holly Valance
she
one as
bought
well.
Me the Holly Valance calendar.
So
one,
your gran's been buying you calendars of sexy ladies,
yeah.
You and your brother for years without even knowing
she
about it.
Doesn't have a clue.
I love that.
I would always go straight from school, straight round to his garage, and this was the base that we planned all our holidays from. The ongoing project at that time was the designing of the shirts for our first group holiday away to Malia, and designs were up on the wall. So we were designing the shirts. Do you remember the first time we went out, we got black shirts with an England flag on the heart, and then across the middle it said The Lads.
Good.
2005. We were 17.
Yeah, I mean, it's quite basic.
Yeah. And name on the back. Yeah. Name and number. Bizarrely, we did numbers on the back. Who
what,
does
phone
that?
Number?
No, it'd be like, I was number 7.
Why?
Well, I chose number 7 because then if anyone looked at the numbers, like, we all had to have a number, I thought... Whatever people thought that number represented, 7's a good number to go for, isn't it? 7 out of 10, 7 inches, 7, whatever measurement you want. Like, it just, it's a good number to always go for, I think.
Right. I love your logic.
The good thing about our group of guys is they are a proper mix of blokes. Kentonar is great for going straight up and talking to girls, even if he can be a bit inappropriate. It allows the rest of us to then step in and apologise if he offends, which itself is an easy in. So if he insults a girl, if he says something slightly rude, they get annoyed, then immediately I can go straight behind and go, I'm really sorry for my friend, he's had a few.
And then start chatting.
And start chatting to them.
Well, so he doesn't do it deliberately, he accidentally insults girls, then you come in and apologise, and that's how you get the chat going.
Mm. He's just very direct with what he says to girls. Okay. Generally, he says exactly what he wants there and then.
Does he not have a self-edit?
He struggles to self-censor.
Right.
Sir Dosser is very funny and writes good music. Chazza is a bit of a cheeky lad, and the Beast and the Convict offer a bit of muscle. Chinese Dave and Lenski are the organisers of our group, plan all major events that we attend. When we go on holiday, Lenski is the kind of person that likes to talk to the locals and try and speak the language. Chinese Dave is also into his culture. He's the one who introduced me to drinking cocktails from a teapot and putting a grip around my beer bottle.
real cultural things.
Yeah, do you know those... he brought some back from one of his trips to Copenhagen or somewhere like that.
And
It was a grip to put around the beer bottle. I've got to say, it's lovely, yeah. But it's that kind of cultural stuff that he's into.
Sure.
A lot of... A lot of Chinese Dave's events are a little too cultured. He might go on the odd course or go to eat dim sum. But every now and then he finds an event which I wouldn't have thought of, but is a good idea. A popular theme park that rhymes with Pork Park were running their annual Fright Night, and Chinese Dave was keen to go. This was one of the activities that he'd found that we'd all sort of thought was a good idea.
Okay.
Me, Dougsie and Chazza were keen to get involved in this one. It was an evening event, so meant that we had to go straight after school, but we were all up for this. It was a busy night, and the park was filled with girls. It'd been a great idea to come here. There were so many girls that queues for the rides were massively long. We knew we had to prioritise which ones we went on. They were everywhere, Scott.
Girls?
Yeah.
I know, we've said this before. I mean, they literally, they're everywhere at these parks.
Yeah, yeah. It's a good place to go, but if you, you know, a good, I suppose a good pond to fish from.
Yes. So many of them.
Although we were there for the occasion, the priority, as always, was to try and meet some girls. But as always, even though they were everywhere, we were struggling to isolate one or two that we could move on. Up until we ended up behind a small group of girls whilst queuing for a ride called Tidal Wave. They were a bit of a mix, but averaged out at about a 7. We weren't going to get a better group to pitch at than that. They seemed like they were on a similar level to us. Do you know what I mean? Because we were a very average group of lads.
Yeah.
So obviously you don't want to go too high. You don't want to punch above your weight because you just don't look stupid.
You don't want to go for an 11 when you're actually 6.
Yeah, and we sort of knew our limits. So we found this group of girls and they sort of seemed like, you know, nice, friendly, but didn't, you know what I mean?
So, I mean, it's just like you and the lads and them, just a average group of 7s.
Yes, yes, all 7s.
Yeah.
As I told you, it's a magic number. Forget 3. It's 7. It always comes down to 7. It was clear they had noticed us, but it all got awkward now, and someone needed to break the ice. Dougsie stepped in and engaged the girls, asking if any of them had the time. It was clever, that. Mm. It was a good move. One of the girls talked to us. The rest just stood behind whispering. We all managed to step in and help Dougsie keep the conversation going, and we continued this up until the point we boarded Tidal Wave. We boarded what was like a giant log flume that fit about 12 people. You know the one I mean, then. So it's a massive log flume. It fits, you know, quite a few people in. So we could be right behind these girls.
So you're all in a line of lads,
yeah.
and the girls are in front of you,
yeah.
On the same ride.
Yeah.
Cool.
The ride slowly tilted the log flume back as the mechanics carried the log up a steep hill from which we would be free-falling into a massive lake of water. As the log rolled over the edge of the hill and hurtled towards the water, we splashed hard into the lake. Weirdly, we didn't get as wet as we thought we would, which was lucky as it was a cold night. It seemed like a good result to me. I hadn't really wanted to get very wet. As we exited the log flume, we walked towards a hut. We continued to do our best to keep the girls' interest. They were a bit more chatty after the ride. It must have been the adrenaline. I think that's another good bit of advice as well. If you are going to be behind a group of girls that you want to talk to them the moment they step off that ride, because they're filled with adrenaline. And they're, I don't know, it's just they're a bit more chatty and enthusiastic about talking to you.
Okay, that's a good tip.
As we stood in the hut, watching the next people about to plunge into the lake on the ride, the girls moved away from us slowly. I wasn't sure why. Me and the boys stood there, looking forward as the log flume went crashing down into the lake, causing a massive wave that hurtled towards the open wooden shack we were in. There was no time to react. Me and the boys got drenched. This was why it was called Tidal Wave. We stood there as the girls stood there laughing at us. I was too soaked and annoyed to even notice them walk off. They had completely done us over.
So they'd obviously been on the ride before?
They knew what was happening, or they'd read the signs, or we were too focused on the girls to realise that if you stand in this hut, the point of this tidal wave is it somehow, I don't know the physics of it, mean that this massive wave crashes towards the hut. You can choose to get really wet if you want by standing in that thing. But it was a cold night, and none of us had signed up to that.
No.
And these girls just stood there laughing. It was the first moment I realised in my life that girls cannot be trusted. If they are listening and remember this, I think they went to a school in Rittmansworth. I hope you're well. And no hard feelings about the tidal wave. I've sort of forgiven them now.
Oh, that's good of you.
How long ago was it?
I was 17.
And that was the first time you learned that girls cannot be trusted.
Yeah.
And not the last.
Exactly.
Yeah. But that's for another time.
Yeah.
Theme tune.
I've boshed banter in Prague. I've dressed up as a Smurf. I've swapped lives with a German. Bought strip pens in France. I've covered teachers in sunscreen. Nearly drowned in some foam. I had a naked massage. Me and my mates had a laugh. I did
24 years at the top end.
At the tap end.
Just a few comments coming in about tap end, Chris. Danny from Nottingham wants us to know that Holly Valance is still on his wall even now. Have you just woken up in 2002, Danny?
It's a bit of an odd one if he's rolled over his calendar, because I've done that once before. I can't remember with who, but I rolled over the calendar for a second year.
Yeah, you don't roll it over 11 years.
But exactly, you'd think you'd shake it up a little bit.
Who have you rolled over for then?
I can't. Who did I roll over?
Actually, in the office at Radio 1, do you remember they rolled over on the One Direction for ages because they liked the December one, so it just carried on until 2013 for ages.
Most of
February.
I can't remember who I rolled over.
Kelly Brook.
No, it wasn't.
Was she on?
She was on at one point, yeah.
Adam and Bury St Edmunds has the same scam going on with his gran. So for the last few years, she just gives like a tenner, I think, to his mum and goes, right, get whatever you normally get. He's getting the Hooters calendar.
Yeah.
Every single year.
Yeah. And then I assume calling his gran and saying, thank you very much for the Christmas present.
Yeah, thanks very much for £10. I've used it wisely. Is it your brother that gets the Hollyoaks Babes calendar?
Yeah, my brother, yeah, he does as well.
Sure.
Yeah.
Oh, as well.
Well.
So your gran doesn't listen to this, right?
I assume not.
Because that's, like, that could be all over. After how many years of doing this?
Well, no, I don't think she'd be hearing this now, hopefully.
Awkward if so.
The Scott Mills Daily.
BBC Radio 1.
Real or no real time, slightly earlier for you on a Wednesday because of me and Jamila doing the official chart update at 3:30. Are these real or not? Play along. 10 points for each one you get right.
Gary Lineker is supported at home by a personal staff of 5 who keep track of the presenter's moods by drawing weather symbols on a whiteboard in his office.
So sometimes Lineker will be, you know, like it'll be a stormy symbol.
Yeah.
Other times, bright and sunny. Other times, when he's kind of halfway in between, a little bit cloudy.
See, generally, I find him to be a very pleasant guy.
Absolutely.
A very, not necessarily overly smiley, but a nice guy nonetheless.
He seems to be nice on the TV, doesn't he?
He seems very nice on
and
TV.
And therefore he must be.
Yeah.
So Gary Lineker's moods, a staff of 5 just to keep track on them, and they use the weather symbols.
Yeah, no real.
Sure about that?
Yep.
Stranger things have happened.
That one is no real.
Yeah.
Good start. And next.
Weapons in the original version of the board game Cluedo included a bomb, poison, and a hypodermic syringe.
Sure.
Cluedo. Which one's that again?
Cluedo.
Why am I being so stupid here? Why am I forgetting which one's Cluedo?
I've never played Cluedo.
I've played Cluedo, but I can't remember exactly.
People are going to think we're really stupid.
I'm not Googling the answer here. I'm just... Yeah.
Is that the one with Mrs...
Colonel Mustard.
Yeah, I get it.
Yeah, it is a bit who.
It's not, don't say that, because the Cluedo fans will be on.
Okay.
Like when I said that Monopoly was a bit rubbish last time. Oh, it went off.
Is there like hardcore fans of that?
You don't even understand. You don't want to mess with that.
Okay.
Seriously?
Especially the Cluedo ones, because of the whole, you know...
Yeah, don't.
For obvious reasons.
So did those used to be the weapons in old school Cluedo?
I don't think so. No, I don't think they would have been that vicious. No real.
That one is real.
Oh! Who'd have thunk it?
Mm. Next.
Jay-Z says Sir Paul McCartney knighted him in a small ceremony with a sword backstage at the Grammys in 2006, and that he's now known as Sir Hover of Brooklyn.
because Paul McCartney did it.
Yeah, Paul McCartney just went up to Jay-Z and went, "You are now knighted."
Yeah.
At the Grammys in 2006.
You see, I don't think he has the power or authority to do that.
Hello, he was in the Beatles.
That's true. But also, if he was going to perform this ceremony, it's an odd place to do it. Secondly, I wonder if he'd had a drink or something, because it seems like the kind of thing I would do in the pub after. Yeah.
I'm knighting you.
Yeah, I knight you.
Not necessarily with a sword, though. I mean, that's meaning business, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, that's the other thing. Where's he got a sword from?
Can we hear this again?
Jay-Z says Sir Paul McCartney knighted him in a small ceremony with a sword backstage at the Grammys in 2006, and that he's now known as Sir Hover of Brooklyn.
Only Paul McCartney could get access to a sword backstage at the Grammys.
How's he got that
I don't
in?
Know. It's all sorts of wrong, but is it real or no real?
I've got to say no real with this.
That one is real.
No, it's not.
It is, though.
Where's he got the sword from?
How's he got the power?
There's too many wrongs about it. We need this. I want a steward's inquiry.
Sir Hove of Brooklyn. I don't understand that one, but apparently it's real.
It's the fact of the day.
Is that happening?
We're on it now. Yeah, it says Sir Paul McCartney knighted him. Bizarre.
Don't ever trust... not trust the real or no real answers. Next.
For 2 days in 1983, the European Union accidentally renamed Belgium Brian after an administrative error.
Now, is this where it's technically happened on a map or something? You never know.
Imagine living in Brian.
Oh, no, they can't. That's a big mistake.
Oh, what an idiot.
No real.
Who did that? Fire them. Real or no real, Belgium was called Brian for a while.
No real.
That one is no real.
Oh, I so wanted it to be true. And at the end of that fascinating round of real or no real, mostly because Paul McCartney decided to knight Jay-Z.
Can't believe it. I scored 30.
Yes, very good, actually. Very, very good. Let me know how you did, 8-1-9. Back on tomorrow from 1 on BBC Radio 1, if you can join me. I'll be playing Innuendo Bingo at 1:45. With everyone's favourite pussycat doll, Kimberly Wyatt.